Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life or a Crime Daily for Monday, January 30th. I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. We talked about a new segment we wanted to do last week and decided, heck, we're going to do it. We're going to do it today. And we're going to talk about lady bad guys. And so Jim is going to talk us through our first famous lady bad guy, and we're going to go back in the time machine a little bit.
All right, y'all. We're going to talk about some lady bad guys, as Mike just mentioned. And today our lady bad guy is Ma Barker. And I know y'all have heard of this.
Some of the kids may not have heard of it.
Well, you're right. And, you know, some adults even, likely. But in the 1920s and 30s, her and her sons pretty much terrorized America. So bad, in fact, that FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover described her as the most vicious, dangerous, and resourceful criminal brain of the last decade. That's how badass she was.
Yeah, she was no dummy.
No dummy. Now, Barker's sons denied that she ever played a critical role in planning many of their robberies, kidnappings, and murders. But we want to give you a little history on Ma Barker, and you be the judge. Now, she was born on October 8, 1873 in Ash Grove, Missouri. And according to legend, a young Barker witnessed firsthand the outlaw Jesse James.
Wow.
That's right. And his gang ride through her town. This event inspired her. It inspired her into a life of adventure outside the law. She looked at that and wanted to be it. And so eventually she got married and she produced four sons, Herman, Lloyd, Arthur, and Fred. And the family moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, Herman was kind of the first one to be a bad guy. He got arrested in 1915 in Joplin, Missouri for highway robbery. Woody Everton, you ever arrest anyone for that?
No, I was a little bit after my time.
How do you steal a highway?
I'm pretty sure they changed that to carjacking.
Well, he got arrested for highway robbery, and over the next several years, Herman, along with his three brothers, they began just hanging out with hoodlums, like, you know, bad influences during that time. And Barker, she didn't discourage her sons from all these criminal enterprises and activities that they were participating in. Now, in 1927, Herman killed himself. He was trying to avoid prosecution after committing a robbery and shooting a police officer in the mouth. So he just kind of ended it. He was done.
That's one way to avoid it.
Yes. That's one. That's what they said.
It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem,
that's
Herman.
That's what they said, yeah.
So by 1928, the three remaining Barker brothers, they all eventually ended up incarcerated. Really, really bad group of folks. Now, things began looking up for Ma Barker, who was obviously probably depressed. All three of her surviving sons were in jail. And in 1931, Fred was unexpectedly released from prison. Now, Fred brought a friend with him from prison, a buddy he made in there, and his name was Alvin Karpis, known as Old Creepy, which
creepy.
That's right, Old Creepy, and he brought him home, and the two formed the Barker Karpis Gang, and they used Ma Barker's shack as the hideout. Sounds like a movie, I know, right. But this was real life, y'all. Now,
do you think they form a gang and then announce the name of the gang? We formed a gang. Here's our name. They've got a sign on the top of the house that says
that. That's the headline. Nothing sells like sex and murder and robbery and shit like that.
Back then, the media was sensationalized.
Right. Bonnie and Clyde.
Check the Facebook page for the Barker Karpis Gang.
There you go. So on December 18th, 1931, Fred and Alvin, they kind of started their little gang operation off, and they robbed a department store in Missouri. They took off, they were fleeing the scene, and they were accosted the following day by the sheriff, Roy Kelly, at a garage while getting two flat tires fixed. Mm. So Fred shoots the sheriff four times. Two of the shots hit him in the heart and killed him instantly.
Nice.
So they're not nice guys, y'all. That event kicked off a series of crimes. They were robbing people, they were kidnapping, they were murdering people, and Ma Barker was officially recognized for the first time as the accomplice to the gang. And a wanted poster was produced, and they were giving $100 to anybody that could find them.
$100 was like $1 million back then.
That's right. In September of 1932, Arthur and Lloyd, they finally get released from prison, and they join Fred and Alvin, and they become the a larger version of the Barker Karpis gang, and they commit more infamous crimes. Eventually, they turn to bank robbery, which was big back then, and kidnapping and all of those sorts of things. And they were operating in a town where the sheriff was just as corrupt as they were. So he was kind of letting them get away with things. Look, you rob this bank, you slide me $100, I won't tell nobody.
I looked the other way.
That's it. So in 1932, the gang, they robbed the Third Northwestern National Bank in Minneapolis. But this heist ended in a violent shootout with police. They killed two officers and a civilian, and they get away.
So you said Minneapolis? Well, at least they hadn't defunded the police.
That's right. Now, next, the gang successfully carried out the kidnapping of two local businessmen, and they netted $100,000 in ransom for the abduction of William Ham and $200,000 after arranging the kidnapping of Edward Bremer. So these guys were loaded.
Oh my God.
That's a lot of money back then.
That's like $1 million.
That's a million.
They should have a private island in Belize. Yeah.
That's like kidnapping Johnny Carson or something back then. I mean, that's a lot of money.
You got away with it.
Yeah. So the FBI, they had some new technology, y'all, in this time, and it was called fingerprinting.
There you go.
And they connect the Barker Karpis gang via fingerprints. New technology. And Arthur Barker was arrested by the FBI agents in Chicago, and they find a map. And that map, basically belonging to him, shows where the hideout is for all those other guys. He actually had a map in his pocket of where the hideout was.
Warning to bad guys.
Don't carry
the map to the hideout.
And nowadays,
you're scared he would forget.
Your GPS or something, right?
Yeah. That's it. So they were actually hiding out in Florida. So the FBI locates the house and confirmed that Ma Barker and Fred were on the premises. They were staking them out, right? Mm-hmm. So they surround the house, y'all. And a special agent in charge approaches the house, and he basically demands that the occupants surrender. After about 15 minutes, he hears a voice from the house saying, "All right, go ahead." Next thing you know, machine gun fire comes from the house. And these are the old Y'all know how it does. And so the agents start returning fire. They have tear gas, rifles, machine guns. You know, they're loaded. They're like a military. 4-hour gunfight, Woody Overton.
Nice.
Four hours. That's a long time. That's a lot of bullets.
Yeah,
there's brass flying everywhere. Gunfire finally stops after 4 hours. The FBI waits. No more gunfire. So they think, maybe we killed them. The FBI, this is the best part of the story, y'all. The FBI actually grabs a local handyman named William Woodbury, and they tell him, "We're going to give you a bulletproof vest." I swear this happened. We're going to give you a bulletproof vest, and we want you to go in the house and see if everybody's dead.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
What was that poor SOB's name?
William Woodbury.
Willie Woodbury. Willie Woodbury. Yeah, so Willie's ordered now. He's under orders from the FBI, so he's going to do it. Now, Woody, how would one go about ordering a handyman to go into a
house? I have no idea, because this should never happen in my career.
Is that like under the same
rule?
You
never ordered. Curse him, he's dead.
I would like grab some crackhead off the street and say, now, you got to go inside this. And, you know, we've just been shooting out for 4 hours. Hey, go in there and let us know if they're dead.
Y'all, that is absolutely true. And so, you know,
I'm pretty sure there's a policy and procedure came out after that shit.
Yeah.
Change.
You can't just order citizens.
I guess back then it was the like commandeering someone's vehicle. Same thing. You could also commandeer them to go in and make sure the bad guys were all dead.
I mean, they probably stood around there like, I ain't going in there. You go in there. And then we'll make this guy go in there.
Willie.
Poor Willie's painting the house next door.
Tell us what happened, because I'm down in there.
Okay, so Willie basically says, all right, I'll go in. I'm ordered to do it. He slaps on the bulletproof vest. He goes in, and to him, it looks like everybody's dead. He goes back outside. He says, I think they're all dead.
I bet that motherfucker didn't go inside.
Stepped one foot in.
He was like, yeah, he went to the garage.
It's all good. So the agents enter the house, and they do announce that Ma and Fred Barker were both dead. Ma Barker died from a single bullet wound, and Fred's body was just absolutely riddled with bullets. Yeah. So Ma and Fred Barker's bodies, what do they do with them first? They put them on public display. Right. That's right. This is why you don't rob banks. You end up dead. Yeah. And then they remained unclaimed, y'all. No one came and claimed them until October of 1935.
Really?
Yeah, relatives came by, picked them up, and had them buried next to Herman Barker at Williams Timber Hill Cemetery, located in Welch, Oklahoma.
I thought for sure Willie would claim them.
Yeah. You would think. So if you're traveling to Welch, Oklahoma, you can go check out the grave sites of Ma Barker and her sons.
What town was the gunfight in?
The gunfight was in Florida.
I got something to say about this.
Ocala.
Oh, it was in Ocala?
Yeah.
I have no direct knowledge.
Disney World area.
I have no direct knowledge, but I have read it in a book or somewhere. Allegedly, Ma Barker was having sex with her sons.
I swear, God.
Did you really? I swear, it's out there because it's in my brain.
I didn't see that one coming.
Well, yeah. So, Ma Barker.
Google that, maybe. Yeah. Let us know in the comments. Very good. Well, there you go. The whole moral of that story, y'all, is if there is a gun battle going on, get as far away as you can, or you might end up with a bulletproof vest on.
Yeah, I did say I had no direct knowledge, but I'm pretty sure Ma Barker's not coming back to sue me. But somebody else put that out there, y'all, not me.
Very good.
Well, I think we succeeded with lightening it up a little bit, right, which we needed. I'm going to continue along with that theme.
All right.
You guys like games, like doing game nights with friends when they come up?
Down.
Okay, so
very competitive.
Usually alcohol is involved, but
it is Saturday.
I got a 12-pack ice down in the truck.
Okay, I don't know why that's not in here, but I don't want to get kicked out of my son's basketball game later for unruly behavior.
If you do, you can come to my crawfish bowl.
But I've got a first for you guys. We are going to have our first of hopefully many, many serial killer quizzes.
All right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you five clues. Well, I'm not going to give you five clues. I'm going to start reading one clue at a time.
Okay.
If you believe you have the answer based on that clue, raise your hand.
All right.
Okay. I'll call on you. If you get it right, you win the question. Right. If you get it wrong, you don't get to hear any of the other clues. Right. The other person will get to hear as many clues as they want before they give their answer. We have five total questions, okay? Right. So here is question one, clue one. This serial killer murdered five women. Second clue. The women he murdered were all prostitutes, and he mutilated their corpses. Clue number three. The killer mocked the community and the police by sending letters outlining the attacks. He was never captured.
Oh.
You just broke my game. You guys, your hands went up at the same time.
Green River Killer.
Can I go to the video? Wait. What was his guess?
Mine? Green River Killer.
You're both wrong. The next clue would have given it to both of you. The murders happened in London's Whitechapel district.
Oh, we already know that. Yeah. Jack the Ripper.
And the last final clue was the police surmised the killer was a surgeon, butcher, or someone skilled with
Green
a
River.
We're probably apologizing.
We're thinking only the United States.
No. This is an international game, Jim.
Okay. You got me on that.
I didn't know they never caught Jack the Ripper.
Nope.
He's still out of
assuming that he was a doctor.
I'm better at asking the serial killer questions than answering them. Okay, serial killer question number two with the score tied at 0-0. First clue, he started killing in 1978 at just 18 years old. Second clue, he mutilated his victims' bodies and put the pieces into a vat of acid to dispose of them. Jim has an answer.
Oh my gosh. The movie just
yeah, ten, his movie, 10 second limit.
Dahmer.
He's dead wrong.
Jeffrey Dahmer is the correct answer. Yeah.
Boom! 1-0.
Well, you got me.
The rest of the clues were he killed 17 people.
I was going to say he killed a lot more than fucking fire.
He killed 17 people in total, mostly young men of color.
Yeah.
Fourth clue, he was arrested in 1991 after a would-be victim escaped and led police back to his home.
And everything else. That dude was
in
really
Milwaukee.
Fucked up.
1-0.
Yeah. That series is brutal. And the last clue was he's the subject of a very successful Netflix series in 2022 bearing his last name.
Got me, Jim.
Which you guys would have got. Okay, so yeah, it's 1-0.
It's only
nothing.
I would have said question. All the victims and they've been eaten.
But question three. Clue number one. He was executed by lethal injection in 1994. Clue number two. He acted as a clown for birthday parties.
John Wayne Gacy. Sorry.
He's not.
I was about to say that I thought his hand moved first.
No, okay,
so we give you that one. We give you that one. He got it. 1-1.
It was probably a tie. John Wayne Gacy.
That dude was twisted too.
The third clue was he was convicted of 33 counts of murder.
Buried them all in his yard and crawl spaces and everything else.
Number four, when his home was searched, police found nearly 30 bodies buried in a 4-foot crawl space under his home.
They end up tearing the shit down too.
The fifth clue, his first and middle name combined to form the full name of a Hollywood legend known as the Duke.
John Wayne. He's another sicko.
Okay, so we're
1-1
going into question four. Okay. First clue, he was eventually executed in an electric chair in 1989. Clue number two, the Western U.S. was his hunting ground.
T-Bundy. Ah, shit! Theodore Robert Bundy.
Good looking man.
He's correct. Correct answer.
Wore a sling to help get his college victims into his.
I didn't even get through all of clue number
VW
two.
VW Volkswagen.
There you go.
Western U.S. VW was his hunting ground with an unknown number of murders piling up, mostly college-age women from Washington to Oregon all the way to Utah.
I met one of his surviving victims at Crime Con about 5 years ago.
He was once arrested in Colorado and convicted of kidnapping, but he escaped custody, moving to Florida, where he killed multiple times again.
Florida State University.
He developed a fan base when he acted as his own lawyer during what is believed to have been the first televised murder trial. And the last clue was he shares a last name with the family featured in the TV series Married with Children.
Oh, I love that show.
Al Bundy was not, not related to Ted Bundy.
Hands down his pants. Shoe salesman at his best.
Okay, did we call that a tie? Do we give credit to – I think that was a tie, wasn't it?
He probably said it first.
We'll call it a tie.
We'll call it a tie. 1-1 still.
1.5-1.5.
Yeah.
So that makes this the tiebreaker. Okay, well, I do need to video this then because I've got to be able to break a tie here if we have.
We need a buzzer next time that lights up. Okay. Just like on Family TV.
Your hands behind your back. Bing.
We will have a full Jeopardy set built in here for next time. In the meantime.
Imagine listeners are screaming at the answers
Mike
before us.
Mike is improvising in the meantime. First clue on question number five. He was a postal worker. Two. He was adopted by parents who raised him in Yonkers, New York. Three. He claimed his killing instructions came from his
dog, and his name is, oh my gosh, Sam, son of Sam.
That's not his name.
His name is David Berkowitz.
David Berkowitz. I'll call it a tie if you can name the dog's name.
Harvey.
What he stole it. The dog's name was.
We'll give
Harvey.
That one to Woody.
And I'm bad with names. Yeah.
2-1.
I ended with that question because we are going to do in our Crimes of the Century series, we're going to do the Son of Sam story.
Yeah.
Well, you won by one.
Next week, we're going to drop the Son of Sam story. Love as that. A matter of fact,
we have to make that a regular. That was a good shit.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right? Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple. And in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today. Okay, folks, so our next little segment here is some news out of Memphis, Tennessee that I'm sure you've been glued to. And if you hadn't and you need to be caught up, let me catch you up real quick. On January 7th at approximately 8:30 p.m., some officers pulled over a vehicle for suspected reckless driving. Now, a confrontation occurred between officers and the vehicle's driver, which was later identified as Tyree Nichols. What essentially happened, the officers approached the vehicle. A fight ensued. There were five African-American officers involved in this, and Nichols runs, obviously, and he fled. The officers apprehend him, and another confrontation occurs, resulting in his arrest. Now, an ambulance was called to the scene of the arrest, and Nichols immediately starts complaining of shortness of breath and those sorts of things, and he was transferred to a nearby hospital. He was in critical condition at this point. 3 days later, he succumbs to his injuries. So that's a synopsis of what occurred.
And the way to hear about confrontation, what that actually means.
Man. So we heard from Memphis Police Chief and from the mayor of Memphis that they were going to release the video evidence from this case, which involved a number of videos from street cameras, videos from cameras on the vests of the officers involved.
Four cameras.
And that they were going to release these videos at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Friday night, which for us taping here now is last night. You're hearing this on Monday.
Didn't you get the feeling it was like a movie premiere or something, you told me? I mean, they built up the hype of the release of this video. I think that's an important part of the story.
I spend a lot of time studying these things, and I'm when they happen, and you know, this week it was just this unbelievable week where we have 11 people murdered just outside of Los Angeles, and then we have another 7 people murdered in Northern California.
Right.
Both crimes involve Asian victims and elderly Asian men committing the crimes, and then you have this story out of Memphis, and I bring them all together because they're. A lot of the early press played these as race crimes, even though we have, in each case, we have in Asians that are killed in the two California murders, and in each case, the person pulling the trigger is an Asian, and here in Memphis, we have an African-American victim, and we have 5 African-American police officers. And so it struck me the way the media was handling things early. So I really wanted to pay attention to what was going on. And the behavior out of Memphis confused me. In the end, I came to understand it and understand how smart it truly was. And I believe as we sit here, it saved lives. No way to estimate how many lives it might have saved, but I think it saved a lot of lives, and here's why. So So yes, the C.J. Davis, the police chief, and Jim Strickland, the mayor of Memphis, were making rounds, like doing the talk show circuit, like you would right. if you had a movie coming right. out
like
that week, a premiere on Friday night at 7 p.m. And all I can think of when I was watching all of that was that we were going to have a massive night of violence. They're promoting all of this and telling the entire country to watch it on their phones or on television at 7 o'clock on Friday night. But I didn't realize how smart they actually were. Yeah. First, they did the immediate and necessary maneuver of terminating the officers, arresting the officers involved, and charging them with Tyre Nichols' murder, which diffused a lot of the potential anger that right. might come out of releasing a video. Right. But as much as they warned us, and C.J. Davis said in every appearance, and I watched several of her appearances, that this video, in her opinion, was at least, if not more, shocking, more egregious than the Rodney King video from the early 90s. And having now watched the videos, the video is much worse than the Rodney King video. So if you haven't at this point and you want to go watch them, just know going in that you're going to be pretty appalled by what you see.
And it's not just video, y'all. They have the proof of the language that was being used by these officers and different stuff. I mean, it's just bad shit.
So some of the thinking about a 7 p.m. Friday release was to make sure people had gone home already, and therefore that, you know, wouldn't be easy to assemble. They wouldn't be as easily tempted either, because they'd already right. be home and be comfortable. And so that was one of the things that C.J. Davis communicated. I think it also made it more likely that they would watch on a TV and therefore have an experience that was more curated by a news organization rather than, because I think if you just watched these videos in their rawest form on social media, it would incite violence in a different way than watching them with your preferred news anchor interpreting for you what was happening. I also think that Tyre's mother, Rovon Wells, and her stepfather, Rodney Wills, were unbelievably courageous and heroic in how they handled and how they communicated everything. And it was abundantly obvious when you saw them on camera that this was a really good family, that this was a mother who loved her son deeply. And it just made it all the more tragic. But with her out in front of it, and her preaching for people to not react right. with violence. If you want to protest, protest peacefully. And so you have the mother of the victim, because we know in so many of these cases, you've got a screaming mother or uncle or brother right. all crying for everyone to hit the streets. In this particular case, we have a devastated mother whose 29-year-old son has been taken from her in a brutal act of violence, and she's calling for calm and right. calling right. for peace. Do you think, Woody, do you think the fact that the family didn't exacerbate the situation or incite violence played a role last night?
I'm going to tell you what, I think this, and you can ask my son, 12-year-old, I said, what do you need to have a fire? He said, you need spark, air, and fuel. And this happened at the beginning of January. First of all, they take away a lot of the spark and everything when they not only fire the officers, they arrest them and charge them formally. And then they get out in front by releasing these videos. This is well thought out, y'all, and advertising, like Mike said, almost like a movie premiere. And you're going to watch it at home. And then on top of this video is being so horrible, you get the family, the mom, to say, stand up and say, hey, you know what? Assemble peacefully if you want to. But hey, basically she's saying, if I'm not going to go tear something down, you don't go tear something down. It's my son. Right. I think that's a genius move. I hate to call it that, but it was a genius move. But God bless her for doing it. But she, you better believe that she talked to the police and everybody ahead of time, and they, she knew what she was going to say, and rightfully doing so. And I don't care if they were African American cops or white cops or whatever, they're pieces of shit. When you go watch all this shit and listen to all everything that was said and was done, it's absolutely horrible. Doesn't matter what skin color they are, fuck them. They should be in jail. But I mean, to answer your question, yes, I think it played a huge role in it. But not only what she did, but everything they did from the firing to the rest to releasing the video. Hey, we don't have anything to hide. We're going to show you the worst we got. And the mama saying, hey, do it peacefully.
Well, and again, it's Saturday as we're recording this, so right. Let's hope that tonight is also a night of
peace. I think they will. I think they've learned, law enforcement has learned from all these mass protests and all the bad shit that's happened in the past. They've learned, and that there's certainly no guarantee they're not going to burn Memphis and everywhere else down tonight, but they've learned to get out in front of it by being honest and transparent, and even setting up to this point where you're taking away the spark in the air, or at least the fuel. Right. They're taking away some of the components that would have burned Memphis down.
Thank God they did. And probably would have burned a lot more cities than just Memphis. I couldn't help, as I was watching the videos, I couldn't help but compare in my mind what I was watching to what I watched in the George Floyd incident. Yeah. And, you know, with Floyd, you had a career criminal. You had an extremely large human being, muscular, strong human being, and you had a human being who was resisting arrest in a difficult to corral person because of his size. Tyre Nichols.
Well, hey, for the record, they murdered George Floyd. Fuck them. But you're right. Yeah, I get it. He resisted originally, but however minutes on the neck and all that shit, and him calling for his mama. Whatever, that was bullshit. But go ahead, you're right.
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, the case has been adjudicated.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm
yeah, gonna, yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't help but notice.
Oh, so absolutely.
The differences here, because you have Tyre Nichols, somebody being pulled over for reckless driving. And by the way, there's no video evidence yet that's been made available that shows his car driving recklessly down the street before he was pulled over. That may materialize, we don't have
it. One of the part of the audio that they did say, one officer said to another officer, he must have been on something because he was weaving in and out of traffic, or he's driving crazy. Well, whatever, right?
Nichols is a 29-year-old man with no prior record. He's, I don't know, maybe 160 pounds soaking wet. One of the things that struck me immediately is when he started talking, you knew just from the way he was talking that this was not some gangbanger, career criminal. He's not threatening the cops. He's not using curses. And he's saying, I just wanted to go home.
Yeah.
That's literally what I just want to go home.
Yeah.
And the even in a reckless driving, and believe it or not, I was pulled over once for reckless driving, so I can, I have credibility in this answer. The officer's going to come to your door, and they're going to ask you for your license and registration, and they're going to ask you why you were driving the way you were driving, or if you're aware. And it's not going to start out confrontational. It's going to start out the way it's supposed to start out by the book. In the video, this is like the opening kickoff of a football game. These five guys who were part of some sort of special unit called Scorpion, which I want to get your thoughts on special units like that in a second, Woody. But here he is. He's He's saying, I just want to go home. There are tons of F-bombs and tons of threats, but they're all being made by the cops. Yeah. He's asking, what did I do? At a point after we're watching officers take roundhouse kicks at his head. We're watching them pummel him with punch after. I don't know what the tally was on the number of times this guy was struck, but I heard someone say this morning after watching the kick that's not even a legal move in UFC.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What they did.
Definitely not a legal cop move.
To this guy. So, it felt like I was watching Denzel Washington in Training Day. Yeah, I mean, that's what this was. They attack. And when he ran away before the second confrontation, I literally believe, watching the video, that he was running for his life. Mm-hmm. His instinct was, these guys are going to kill me if I don't get away. And so, unfortunately, they caught back up with him. I don't know at that point if he was so injured that he wouldn't have survived it anyway. But unfortunately, they do find him. So, Woody, have you ever seen anything like this before? Is there a different sort of code of conduct if you're part of a special unit? Like, it's not like being a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger.
The special units that's a task force, and Baton Rouge has theirs, and the Sheriff's Office has theirs, and a lot of times they work in conjunction. And basically, they're targeting high crime areas. Sadly, he's a victim of profiling. They stopped him for whatever they say, reckless driving. And they probably think, here comes another dope dealer, profiling his vehicle, whatever it was, and they pull him over. Now, where they really fucked up is from the beginning. I used to teach this to all the cops. I would say, listen, you always start out low and soft. I said, because if you start out high, you can't back down. It's going to shit, period. You can never start out hollering and screaming and it's going to back down. So you start out low, license, registration, that's why we stopped you. You deserve them, et cetera. In this case, they just got on his ass. And I think the SCAT teams or these specialized units that are sending to these high crime areas to simply make arrests and get bad guys off the street, they got their own cat this time.
De-escalation is a real thing. And police officers and all departments are trained on how to de-escalate situations. If, the issue is 99.9% of police officers are good people, and they're out there and they're defending people they don't even know. They're standing in the way of gunfire. They're running into houses when, people are getting stabbed. And we cover a lot of crime around here, and 99.9% of them are good people.
Absolutely.
But there are situations where police officers get a badge and they become big-headed or cocky, or I'm in charge here, right? And that can put you in a real bad situation real quick. If you're a John Q. citizen and a police officer pulls you over and he says, let me see your driver's license, and you got to reach for it, and he says, what are you doing? Put your, and he freaks you out. You can be someone who's never been arrested in your life, never done anything wrong, and you are instantly on the defense due to the way that police officer reacted. And that situation can turn real bad real quick, because as human beings, when any of us, when we feel we're being backed in a corner, it's
fight, flight, or freeze.
Yes. And if you're someone that's a fight type personality, it's going to turn real bad real quick. It's easy to look at this and say this is a training issue and they need to be taught, how to de-escalate quicker. This is just an example of a bunch of arrogant, cocky pieces of shit who went out there and killed a guy for nothing. And they had a badge, and they thought they were going to get away with it because they had a badge and because they were members of this specialized unit that was esteemed. And It's disgusting, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, they beat him. They tased him. They beat him with batons. They kicked him in the face. They did everything that's against the book. And how, I mean, certainly the chase and all that, their adrenaline was up. But once the ass whooping started, they continued on. And I submit to you, they've done it probably 1,000 times before, and they always got away with it. They didn't know this gentleman was going to die, unfortunately. And if he hadn't died, he'd just gone to the hospital. It'd just be another lawsuit. He said, she said.
Well, absolutely. Jim, you make some really good points. I think in 2022, there were 20 black people killed while in police custody for the entire year. And that's not saying in each of those cases officers were found to have been in the wrong. There were just 20 incidents that involved a black person dying while in police custody. Here, we have such a disgusting situation that, and with what the media does today, because it's the media's job, the way things get delivered, the way they get sensationalized, how long these videos will live on forever. This group, we already know how difficult it is for police departments to retain the officers they have, yep. How difficult it is for them to recruit new officers.
So who wants
and
the job? Yeah.
Something like this stains the the 16-year-old kid who's sitting thinking, maybe I want to be a police officer, and watches these that's the kind of impact. I mean, let's hope that sanity continues to prevail, and by the time you hear this on Monday, there hasn't been two nights of violence associated with this, but the damage caused here in terms of the faith and trust in police because of just how brutal this is going to be significant at a time where the country can least afford for it to be, and that's just really sad.
Absolute tragedy, and hearts go out to Terry's family, and unbelievable.
All right, so that's going to be about all we're gonna discuss today. If you enjoyed what we're doing here at Real Life Real Crime Daily, please share, like, comment, do all those sorts of things. It really helps to get the episodes out there. And we will see you again on Wednesday. I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily, peace.
Shabusiness.
Shabusiness.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.